Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Again, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. We are close to 300,000 downloads of the podcast. Wow. Thank you. I could not have done that without your support. I really appreciate that. You listening, tuning in, sharing with friends and family. Thank you. I hope the shows have been helpful to you. Well, today, a hot topic, voter ID laws. What do I need to go to vote? The ID that I have, is that acceptable? Just a minute ago, I learned about maybe if I have a letter or initial difference, that could cause a problem. If I don't have any birth certificate or school ID or government ID, can I still vote? And if I do vote, what is my turnaround time to get the proper identification? What's my deadline? All these things we're going to try to answer today. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 646-929-0368. I have some wonderful guests on the line with me this morning. They know way more than I do, so that's why I asked them to come in. First, I want to introduce Linda Riley. She's Director of Communications and Legislative Affairs for the Philadelphia Corporation for Aging. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling in today. I also have Anita Lewis. She's a Legislative Program Manager at Health Partners of Philadelphia. She used to be president of the Philadelphia Black Public Relations Society. She's also been acknowledged as a Philadelphia leader, best 40 under 40 in the Philadelphia Business Journal. I could go on with her accolades. Thanks, Anita, for calling in.
Thank you, Joy, for having me.
We also hope to have Zach Stahlberg from the Committee of 70 calling in shortly. As you know, sometimes it's a busy week for all people in politics, so hopefully he'll be calling in later. But, Linda, let me start with you. There's a lot of resistance from many people in the country about voter ID laws. Now, historically, we've had issues in terms of African Americans dealing with having to take literacy tests, for everyone being charged poll taxes. Talk to me about, in your community of seniors, do you hear people echoing back to having to deal with those issues? What are you hearing with seniors in your community?
Well, certainly there has been a history in this country of voter suppression. You know, from the very early days in the country, if you didn't own property, for example, you couldn't vote. So theoretically, all the amendments to the Constitution that have passed have enabled people to vote. But, you know, yet another attempt to keep some people from voting. So what we know about seniors is that now that they've got this photo ID law, an awful lot of them don't have a photo ID for a variety of reasons. And one of those is, you know, anybody over a certain age, we may not be driving anymore. Some women in the older generation maybe never drove and never had a photo ID. So there's a lot of issues. And you did raise the question of when other countries or other locations have had photo IDs, that's fine, but to enact it with this short a window of time to make it happen, that's not reasonable.
Well, now, Anita, let me talk to you. I've been reading about this issue of voter ID, and I've been reading that some states have what they call strict photo ID, some called non-strict, non-photo ID. What is the difference, and how do I know what state I'm in? Is my state a strict state or a non-strict state? where can I go to get this information?
You know, I'm not as familiar with the term, but I do know that Pennsylvania is fairly new with implementing this voter ID. From what I understand, other states have already require that you show an ID before you can vote, and not only if you are voting for the first time because you moved to a new neighborhood, or if you're a very first-time voter because you just turned 18. From what I understand, in Delaware, folks were asked to show an ID before they casted their vote. So in Pennsylvania, as Linda expressed before, there they were not as strict and stringent with the rules. In New Jersey, from what I understand, they're not required to show a photo ID. Even now, it's not legislatively pressed. Is that correct? Is that your understanding as well, Linda?
Yes. Yes, it is. There are a number of states that do require it, and there are, you know, variations. There are a lot of variations. Pennsylvania's law, which was just enacted this spring, is one of the very strictest in the nation.
Right. Right. Pennsylvania's law was just enacted in March. And from my understanding, most recently, I've been receiving a lot of emails because I know you may or may not be familiar that there are there was a court case requesting that the Department of Transportation consider delaying implementing this very strict law until after the election. So I know that they're circulating petitions and trying to submit the petitions to the governor, Tom Corbett, to just, you know, request a delay. I don't know how effective this is going to be because they seem to be very adamant and strict about implementing this law and following it through to November. I think it's the 6th election day. Yeah, they're going
to
follow it all the way through.
And well, Anita, before you continue, let me just let the audience know the information I have. There are states that have strict photo ID are Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin. Those are strict photo ID states. Some states that don't strict non-photo ID, that they will accept non-photo ID, Arizona, Ohio, Virginia. They will require ID, but it doesn't have to have a photo. And then states that don't require a photo and are non-strict, they variety of forms of ID, Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, Oklahoma. In terms of Pennsylvania, I do want to let the audience know that a voter who's indigent and unable to obtain ID without any payment or fee, or is otherwise unable to obtain ID, may vote a provisional ballot. Linda, talk to me about, Anita, I'm sorry, I know you were trying to continue your thought, about this idea of provisional ballot. Linda,
right.
You feel comfortable talking?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
The provisional ballot is something that you can go and you can actually vote on Election Day, but within, I believe it's a week, you must present a valid photo ID. So the provisional ballot is really just, you know, a momentary reprieve. It's not in any way a relaxation of the law.
I think this is Zach here on the line. Zach, is this you?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hi, Zach, is this you?
Hello?
Hi, are you a caller? Do you have a question?
Yeah, this is Jerry Miners. I have an NAACP here in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. Call you.
Oh, okay. Jessica got you to call in. Thank you so much.
Yeah, our lawsuit is slightly different than what I heard being discussed a few minutes ago. The lawsuit actually challenges the validity of the law. It was filed by the ACLU, AARP, NAACP, Legal Women Voters. The hearing in the Supreme Court is actually this Thursday in Philadelphia because the Supreme Court moves around the state, and we're hearing the case at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning in Philadelphia City Hall. The court here is divided, though, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, because one of the Republicans who was on the Supreme Court actually committed voter fraud. So she is disallowed from participating in Supreme Court.
Wow.
She's actually facing trial early next year for criminal use of public monies and public staff time in her election. It's been a holy mess here. I'm not going to be very polite about it. Corbett has been a liar. In fact, he's been a damn liar. He and his Republican creeps who passed this law, they never came up with one single instance of identity fraud in the last 10 years. Yep. And they went ahead with this bill, and one of the members of the legislature on the Republican side actually bragged that the reason they were pushing this bill so fast last spring was that they were hoping that it would push the state of Pennsylvania, which is a battleground state, into the Romney column. So this is a political ploy.
That was Representative Terzai.
Right, we've seen Terzai, which we've seen
Jeremy, I want to agree with you on the issue. Let's talk about young people, though. We talked a little bit about seniors. How do you think this is affecting young people? Where can young people go get the correct information?
We're in the process of reaching out. The one good thing is that the coalition here in the Philadelphia area, remember, the state is huge. It's 400 miles wide and about 200 miles deep. So, you know, we've been very active on the eastern side of the state where most of the votes are in creating coalitions with churches, community groups, and other activists to spread the word, encouraging young people to get their IDs. For example, in Pennsylvania, there are roughly 114 colleges. Only about 10 colleges had an expiration date on their student IDs. So we've had an ongoing conversation with the state chancellor of higher education here about getting schools to change their ID policies and to put expiration dates on them.
And let's explain that.
Well,
that is part of the law. Many people may not be aware, Jeremy, that is part of the law, and that is, again, and people are not aware of all the detail that's in this law, that the law says it must include an expiration date and not be expired. Exceptions for a military ID with an indication that it has an indefinite expiration date, or a PA driver's license or non-driver ID card that is not more than 12 months past the expiration date. So actually someone could go vote and have an expired date as long as it's not more than 12 months. But the problem is the person sitting at the polls may not know that.
That's right.
The criticism has forced PennDOT to change all the early rules and regulations. So the original bill, as originally written, has completely been wiped out. For example, the number one litigant plaintiff in our lawsuit, Mrs. Applewhite, 93 years old, had been voting since the days of FDR, did not have a birth certificate with a raised seal, didn't have other identification. She had married and changed her last name. All the stuff she alleged, you know, originally needed to get her ID, she didn't possess. But because of the lawsuit, because of the protests in the street, because of the unions and the general conversation, PennDOT has dropped that, and he gave Ms. Applewhite a voter ID about 10, 12 days ago. She was on the front page of the local Philadelphia paper.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'm glad you said that. We have to remember that, especially in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, I think the deadline is October the 9th. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the closing of registration.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the process of getting
IDs. Jeremy, let me bring Linda into the conversation here in terms of what is your organization doing to help seniors? Are you helping them drive to get their IDs? Are you bringing people to their houses?
Churches across the region are taking people to PennDOT centers, picking people up, local radio stations, the county announcements where you can go to get your IDs. The mayor's been very, very, very much involved. We've got the local teams here, the Phillies and the Eagles and others, have put the notices up on the billboards during the games. The Jay-Z concert, which just attracted some 100,000 people here in Philadelphia a couple of days ago, had announcements on the big jumbo TV screens. So the community has responded in a very positive way. So
Linda, what is PCA doing for seniors in terms of helping them?
What is who doing?
Linda. Are you still there?
There's another guest on the phone.
We have three people on the call today. Linda?
Yes. Well,
hi.
PCA is working to inform all of the folks who get long-term care and home services from us about the voter ID. We have been working with senior community centers to let them know there are 23 senior centers and 11 satellite meal sites that we fund in the city of Philadelphia, and we've been working to keep them informed. And we're also now working with the churches. There's a clergy event this week where we will be talking to the churches about what they can do, and your other guests certainly was talking about the churches. We think the churches are very key to this because they are trusted and they have all the resources that they need to really help people. They have the ability to transport people, to get, say, a Social Security card, to go to PennDOT and get the photo ID. They have the ability to inform people. So we are working, we're going to be working closely with the congregations. We have an interfaith coalition that includes churches, mosques, synagogues, you know, all across the spectrum of faith communities to help them reach the people in their congregations and in their neighborhoods. Because the diabolical part of this is that it is so detailed and it's like a little maze to try and get exactly what you need and get to the right place and have all the documentation that you'll need in order to get the photo ID to be able to vote.
Exact time, yeah. Now, Anita, are you aware of this issue that people in-state versus out-of-state, out-of-state Pennsylvanians have an easier time of getting the voter ID, they can get it the same day, versus in-state? Are you aware of this, Jeremy, Anita?
Jerry Mondesire might be familiar with it, but I have not heard about that.
No, I haven't heard about a problem with in-state. I presume you're talking about, what, college students?
Yeah,
no,
I read a newspaper. Linda,
I'm
you're aware of this?
I'm familiar with that, yeah. The college students, you have to, okay, just to go back to what your other guest mentioned, college students must, in addition to having an expiration date, it has to be a Pennsylvania university or college. It can't be a child from, say, Philadelphia who's going to school in New York. So that's another, you know, potential barrier. But to go back to your other question, in-state people actually have a little bit harder time getting what they need than out-of-state. If you don't already have a birth certificate with a raised seal, but you were born in Pennsylvania, you must go to the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation Photo Center, ask them to look you up through the Department of Health, go home. You'll get a letter maybe 10 days later telling you, yes, we found you, or no, we didn't. And then you must go back to PennDOT. If you are an out-of-state person who is unable to get your birth certificate, you don't have to go through all that. You go to PennDOT and you say, I was born in Georgia. I can't get my birth certificate. I want to apply for the voter-only state ID.
So what I'm saying is they're giving you voter-only ID pretty much on demand. You need a proof of residency. You have to have a bill, like a gas bill, electric bill, some kind of bill, utility bill. You have to have a Social Security card. You don't even have to have, I mean, a number. You don't even have to have the card today. That's what I'm saying. They have dropped some of the most onerous restrictions because the negative publicity on the bill,
right,
it's now law, was so, you know, deafening, and that the administration backed down. I mean, they've really dropped a lot of the restrictions. That's why it's a lot easier
now,
today than when we first started this campaign back in the spring.
Are you guys aware in Pennsylvania that you can get a free birth certificate from the Department of Health, and also that you can get a refund if I think there was a certain deadline for $10? Anita, you heard about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
Linda, wait a minute, Joy. Linda was going to respond to a comment that Jerry made regarding.
I just want to put a number out there for the Pennsylvania Voter ID Coalition. It's 1-866-687-8683, and I'm going to repeat it. 1-866-687-8683. And I think it's so important to get that number out there for any Pennsylvanian who is confused about this, because honestly, you know, we've been talking for about 20 minutes, and I can only imagine what somebody out there who's just hearing this for the first time, they would have to be feeling kind of overwhelmed.
A little overwhelmed.
Like,
now, Jerry, what's your number for NAACP? Do you have a number people can call to reach out to you guys?
Yeah, 215-978-7500. We've been running radio spots with this number for like the last 6 weeks, so lots of people are aware that they can call our office and be plugged into the system immediately.
Now, Anita, you work at a local insurance company. What are you doing with the employees to try to get them more aware about these voter ID laws here in Pennsylvania?
So pretty much what I've been doing is sending out company-wide any updated information that I am that people send to me or email to me. I've also provided them with web links and access to download to request a copy of their birth certificate if they need that in order to attain their current voter ID or registration. Also, I have loads of registration forms if people had name change or address change, so they can just get the forms from me or in various locations within the company or through our PAC. We have employees who volunteer to be on our political action committee. They, starting next week, they'll be able to get them from someone who works in their department or near their department who's a volunteer on the PAC and get the information not only about the voter ID legislation and a copy of the birth certificate application, but also if they just need the voter registration form to make the change, whether it's address, name change, or whatnot, and then mail it in or walk it right down the street. We're located in Center City. They can walk it right down the street to City Hall and take it. I think it's on the second floor. Is that correct, Jerry?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, on the second floor, and, you know, just kind of expedite the process. So we're doing what we can to inform, educate, and provide whatever assistance we can. And I don't know everything, but the blessing is I have access to a lot of people like Jerry Mondesire and other folks in state and state and other advocacy groups who are more than willing to assist me. And that has been a lifesaver for me.
Now, Jerry, tell the people the court date. Can the public come and make comments? What time and the street address of where they can go to participate if they can participate?
Participate in the court hearing on Thursday?
The hearing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, the problem is the room is very small. And it's very much the way the procedures work in Pennsylvania is pretty much like they work in the United States Supreme Court. Each side has about an hour and a half to present its case, so it doesn't last very long. The whole thing will be, the lawyers will have to shut up in about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. There are only seats for about 40 people. But we're going to have a rally in the courtyard starting at about 10 o'clock in the morning till around noon when the hearing will wrap up. So people are more than welcome to come down to City Hall on Thursday between 10 and 12. Our national president will be there, Ben Jealous, Reverend Al Sharpton, is supposed to also attend, in addition to local union leaders and political elected officials.
Linda, anybody from PCA be down at this rally, or are you guys
going
to invite
them? We're going to send the word out on Monday morning.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Linda. What did you say? I couldn't understand what you just said.
No, I'm saying we're going to invite everybody that's been a part of the coalition to be at the rally on Monday morning. The mayor's office has been very, very supportive, so he has the whole list of the 140-odd groups. I think it was 147, my last count. So all will be invited. It's open to everybody because the voting is an everybody issue.
That's
no
right.
one's going to be left out.
That's right.
Now, Anita, what's the deadline to get this ID? What's the drop-dead deadline? Just trying to make things a little clearer as possible. So you can have a voter ID. You can have a non-driver's ID. You can have a school, a Pennsylvania a school ID, you can also have a military ID. What other forms, and what's the deadline? Like, do I have to have it by Wednesday, Thursday? You know, what's the deadline?
Well, you know, to me, the deadline was yesterday. You have to move as quickly as possible, but
yeah.
as I expressed before, October 9th is the absolute deadline that they will, you know, accept any applications in order to move forward with getting your voter ID. I know the NAACP, they've been working, and Jerry has, you know, a radio show, and he has been working and talking about this. They've been on this all summer, actually since March when the legislation was first signed off. And a lot of nonprofit and advocacy groups and union organizations, you know, you just can't walk down the street or listen to the news or go shopping without seeing something that talks about educating yourself or being informed. Or even NBC 10 did an expose traveling with this one African-American older woman who was not born in Pennsylvania. She even admitted, she said, listen, I was born in a house because when I was born, hospitals were segregated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a birth certificate. And it took her 2 days. And this woman was, handicapped. She was walking with a walker, and so she had to take public transportation to go down, sit for 2 hours. You know, she filled out whatever she could. They sent her back home. She went back the next day, and this was an entire expose for 2 days that NBC 10 did on her. And for me, just watching that, I'm thinking, you know, I'm sure she has children or people or whatever, but imagine those who don't have, you know, family or people to assist and support them. And they,
or just even, you know, being able to take time off of work. I mean, you have to take time off of work. If you don't, you can't, your boss will be like, well, you're fired. You know, I mean, why do you need to take time off? I mean, maybe we might want to ask, you know, businesses, look, can you give people a reprieve? You know, they need to get their identification or they can't vote. I mean, because it's not just being old. If you're young, you're new to a job, maybe you're working,
that's,
you know,
true,
a part-time, you know, or maybe working under the table job. You can't just be like, oh, look, I got to go take off, you know, 8 hours. Because really, it could take 8 hours. You got to take the bus to get to the place, sit in the place for an hour, 2 hours, then come back. I mean, that's 2 days of work. People can't afford that.
But, Joy,
you know?
That is the point of, I think, implementing, you know, this very strict legislation is to slow potential voters down, any deterrent. I could be wrong, and Jerry, maybe I'm just being a little malicious, but I suspect.
No, I think Jerry agrees with you.
This is the intent, is to deter and distract. It's like, if you're serious about voting, then you will do whatever it takes to make sure you, you know, follow the proper protocol so that you can vote.
Well, I want
to
thank everybody for coming on.
You know, the original struggle around the Voting Rights Act as a member of SNCC when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were standing on the steps of the state capitol about a month and a half ago, several of the ministers who, you know, we're about the same age, you know, we looked at the crowd, a couple thousand people, and we said to ourselves, you know, we've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Why have we had to revisit this? And the answer is real simple, as the young lady just said. It's about messing with the process, you know, real simple language, the way, you know, we have to just say it the way it is. This was a malicious lie. There was voter fraud. And this was an attempt to use the claim of alleged voter fraud to slow down, interrupt, and suppress the voting turnout. Remember, Pennsylvania only went Democrat by roughly 500,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's roughly, depending on whose numbers you want to use, that's the other great tragedy with this whole scene. The PennDOT can't really tell you how many people don't have the necessary ID. Roughly 700,000 at the low end to up to 1.2 million people have been affected by this legislation. And it's just outrageous that the original court, the decision by Judge Simpson, he actually acknowledges that it's going to affect 90,000 plus people. He actually says that in the 70-page opinion. But he says that's not a big enough number to matter.
Jerry, let me just talk to the audience real quick. We only have about 2 minutes. I want to explain to people that you are being watched, you are being monitored, you are being surveyed, you are being put up in an Excel spreadsheet, in an Access database. Your hair color, your eye color, what type of food you eat, where do you go shop, and your Google searches. You are being watched, and people are watching you to figure out how to make money off of you, how to get your vote, how to get you to smoke cigarettes, buy alcohol, play a certain kind of music. Again, you are being watched, and you must understand this affects all areas of your existence. So it is not out of bounds to consider or for fact that somebody sat down in an office and said, how many seniors have IDs? How many youth have IDs? How many people are eligible to vote and don't vote? Where are they located? There are people analyzing you every day of your life from the time you were born. Oh, okay, that's a new alcohol drinker. That's a new cigarette smoker. That's a new voter. How can we get them to come on our side? Whatever your side is, you are being watched. So I just want to really encourage people to don't delay and go out and get whatever identification you need. Go attend the rally on Thursday, 10 to 12 at City Hall in Philadelphia. Find out from your local agencies what you can do to help, you know, alleviate, maybe help give somebody a ride, bring somebody an application. Linda, Anita, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on the show
today.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I see we have a caller. Let me just take, we have about 60 seconds. Are you calling from 770 area code? Do you have a question? Hello?
No.
Hey, okay.
Carol.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're going to do another show in a couple minutes dealing with fitness. So stay tuned. Again, thank you so much for listening. You can follow @JoyKeys on Twitter. You can become a fan on Facebook. just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Check out PCAcares.org. Check out 70.org. Also, you can check out PennDOT's website here in Philadelphia, or check your local DMV website to get more information about what you need and where you can go and the paperwork that you need. Also, some really good information, the National Conference of State Legislatures, they have a wonderful map and outline and graph of what state needs what. That's ncsl.org. Again, ncsl.org. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully you can stay tuned for the next show.